If there's a shout in your belly, this is the time to shout to God. Let loose that trumpet that is breaking out on your inside. Let loose that shout that is locked up on the inside. Weep not. Weep not for the lion of the tribe of Judah. He has prevailed. 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 Put your hands together for him tonight. Put your hands and shout for him. Shout unto him tonight. With a voice of triumph. The horseman and the rider that have been cast into the sea. Oh, our God shall arise. And all his enemies will be cut down. Will be cut down. Put your voice in the Lord. Of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed. He has prevailed. The lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. And every darkness shall be turned to daylight. The time for the devil is over. And the government of God shall be established. No weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. We hail your great name. We hail your great name. We hail your great name. We magnify your great name. We glorify you. Jesus, the Son of God, I believe in you. I believe in you. The Son of God, I believe in you. I believe. Jesus, the Son of God, I believe in you. I believe in you. Jesus, Son of God, I believe in you. I believe. You are welcome to his presence tonight. If you can, you may take your seat. If you can. If you can. And as you try to make your way to your seat, that's if you can. Don't break the flow of the Spirit because I said there's a need to sit down. If you feel more ventilation, standing and releasing everything brewing on your inside, please do in the name of Jesus. I believe tonight that the Holy Ghost will touch down. Oh my God. Oh my God. He will touch down. the dimensions of heaven will touch down. In the name of Jesus. Friends, God has spoken clearly. He has spoken clearly. And I've seen the future. I've seen it. This is a season to fraternize with him, to stand with him. It's a time to be sold out to his will. It's a time to forget about yourself and everything that you have built in your name. And to cut covenant with him and partner with him, yielding your members to service purposes. And it's a great privilege to be identified with him. We give you glory. In Jesus' name. In John chapter 1 verse number 8, the Bible says, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Okay, you will not understand the reading. Let's go to verse 6. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. Luke chapter 2, turn your Bible. Somebody said that was the true light. When scriptures begin to qualify things, when scriptures begin to say the true light, the only true God, it is because they are counterfeits. There are other kinds of lights. And those kinds of lights that exist actually are not the kinds of illumination that the scripture is making reference to. So some form of qualification had to be brought to bear. That was what? The true light that what? Lightens every man. Did he say lightens every believer? Oh, you are not with me in the house today. Did he say lighting every believer? He said what? That was the true light that lightens every man that cometh into the world. Alright? Okay, let's go to the book of Luke chapter 2. And I perform a function. And then we invite the host of heaven. We invite the land, the sea. We invite angels to converge and partake of the fellowship that will be breaking out of this house in the name of Jesus. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 2 from verse 21, the Bible says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was named by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of our purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same was a just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to your word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. And he went further to describe that salvation. He said, a what? I didn't hear you. A what? A light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. The scripture says that one of the reasons, one of the purposes of the ministry of John, if you study your Bible critically, was that he was supposed to identify the Messiah, identify the Christ. In fact, he spoke in the book of John chapter 1 that he was commanded by him that appeared to him in the wilderness to begin to conduct baptismal services as a means through which the Christ could be revealed to his generation. The marching orders that he was operating by was that upon anyone that the heavens will become open and the Spirit of God will descend and remain, such shall be the one that will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And so that was what occasioned and informed his baptismal service and his baptismal ministry. All kinds of people came for his services. All kinds of people came to be baptized. But every time anyone entered into the water, he waited aside like a spectator to behold the heavens and to look upon his head. And for so long, that was why whenever anybody was going to go into the water, John will look like a spectator. He was trying to see the confirmation of the marching orders that he received in the wilderness. And it came to pass that when Jesus came and he was lowered into the waters, he saw that the heavens were open. Hallelujah. From the perspective of John, the book of John, John the apostle understood the significance of the ministry of John the Baptist. And in those days, there were significant revelations that were granted to the Johns. You will see that it was John the Baptist that identified Jesus as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. By the time you go to the book of Revelation, you are going to see that John the Apostle also had a very graphic revelation of Jesus. This time he saw him in his office. He saw him from the capacity of his ministry. He saw him from the capacity of his glory. He saw him with all his splendor, endowments and functions in the heavenly realm, administering the purposes of God. He saw him as a priest in the order of Melchizedek. And so John had a good understanding of the significance of the ministry of John the Baptist with respect to the ministry of Christ. And he said there was a man sent from God whose name was what? Was John. The same came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might know this light. Hallelujah. That means the only possibility of the world coming to understand and to know this light was through the ministry and the person of John the Baptist. I pray that you will become that conduit pipe. You become that missionary from heaven, sent, dispatched, empowered and endowed, strategically placed and positioned to point the world to Christ. Such was the ministry of John the Baptist. And a man of understanding was given its interpretation. And he said, this light that John came to bear witness of was not just any light, but what? The true light. And that was the light that lighted every man that what? Cometh into the world. Whenever I read that scripture, I cannot but remember this illustration that God brought to my heart. You know, we went to the market, got a CD, put it in the computer, and then pressed some keys, and something that was on the computer was transferred to the CD. It looks as if before any man is born on earth, God comes in his studio, and the elements of his destiny are transferred into his spirit
with a kind of light. Because the Bible didn't say that that is the light that lightens the believers. But it said what? That is the light that lighted what? Every man that cometh into the world. I need you to understand that even the unbeliever has an encoding of destiny upon his spirit. He may not live to fulfill it, but there was an impute of God in his spirit before he was released. In fact, that impute of God was already articulated before the foetus that gave him substance was fashioned and formed in the womb. The Bible says, speaking about Jeremiah, God said, before I formed the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth, I sanctified and ordained thee as a prophet unto the nations. Before Jeremiah was formed, before his foetus began to form in the womb, before his dad knew his mom, his destiny existed. He existed as a seed of eternity. And just before this personality passes from eternity to time, there's a point in the studio that personality is brought, and the elements of destiny are transmuted into the person's spirit in form of a light. Are you still with me here? You are not with me. Does it surprise you sometimes that the devil is aware he has some idea about a man's destiny? Why is it that when Jesus was born, he sought to kill him? Why? Because the light that was transmitted upon his delivery was a blinding light. Then he knew that something had happened in the earth, and he sought him. His identity was not known, because the devil does not have all the details. He needed to move through men to get resources, because his data bank was outdated. On the strength of the time that the wise men communicated about the birth of Christ, 2 years and under, he decreed deaths of every male child. Because a blinding light had come into the arena. And the Bible says this man that John was called to bear witness of is that light that encodes destiny, that encodes divine and spiritual language and resources upon the spirits of men before they walk this world. It happened to be that when Jesus was born, they brought him for dedication. And that was customary according to the law of Moses. But you see, a prophet had to be standing by. Because when such an investment is made into a child, alright, in order for the parents to know the magnitude of burden that is upon them in raising that child up, a prophet must come that understands the language of light. It peeps into his spirit. He sees what has been encoded there, so that he can bring prophecy to empower and equip the parents to know how that child will be ordered. I need you to understand that if your child were Samson, at least you had to know that no razor will touch his head, because the dreadlocks upon his head will become the secret of his power. They brought him to the temple to do to him according to a custom. That time there was a man called Simon. Jesus Christ. When you read the scriptures and the Bible says train up a child in the way it should go, it means train up a child according to the destiny, that which is already ordained, the way he should go. And that the way he should go is an element of eternity. It was already judged before the child manifested. A parent will be handicapped if he doesn't know the way he should go. He will fight for admission for him in medical school. When they brought Jesus, this man came into the temple. He was not part of the priest that was supposed to minister that day. He came and seized the child and lifted the child up. And began to say things about death. Now allow me to die. I've been trying to die since. Many times I prayed to die. You didn't allow me to die. Now let me die. For my eyes have seen the salvation that shall go before the face of all people. Then he began to interpret the light. You see, a light that will lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. Hallelujah. In a moment of time, we just want to dedicate a child to God. Dedication is significant because if you understand how the spirit realm operates, there are two things that are very, very difficult to explain, that is so operational in the spirit realm. If you don't operate in the spirit realm, you will not be acquainted by any means to those things. One of them is glory. The other is authority. Those are the things that control the things that we see. Hallelujah. Now, you see, when a child is below the age of accountability, the child cannot think for himself, cannot take decisions for himself. And so at that point in time, the parents, operating under the authority that God has placed upon them, take decisions for that child. And I need you to understand that, those decisions that the parents take, if they do not understand the way he should go, will influence the destiny of that child. Because God recognizes the authority in the life of what? Of that child. We have had to battle with several people that were dedicated to several things, and the spirits in their nature of jealousy refused to let them go because an authority gave the children to them. It's very, very relevant. Oh, we give you glory, we give you praise. We exalt your holy name, our Father. For thou art good, thou art kind, and your mercies endureth forever. It's a privilege to be called by your name, to speak your name with our breath, and to proclaim your glory and your mighty works. We acknowledge you. We thank you. We thank you.
Blessed is he who comes.
Apostles chapter 10. As we set the stage for Jesus, Acts 10, in Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him." How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Please help me tell your neighbor that the most important person is the Holy Spirit. And the most important commodity is the anointing. when God wanted to really give man a gift, he actually encapsulated everything that he intended to give his people in the person of the Holy Spirit. So much so that when you are plagued by the insufficiencies of the humanity and you turn to the Holy Ghost, actually when God created man, he created him by default to be insufficient, weak and beggarly. He created him to not to be complete in himself. And so every time you find a man that looks to himself or to the resources with which to carry out and to confront every circumstance and situation, such a man is operating under an economy of self. And ultimately, such a man cannot fulfill the purpose of God, and he will be confounded when he sees how weak and insufficient his natural endowment and ability really is. And so in order to make up for the insufficiencies of man, God actually compounded, made a compendium of himself in a fashion, in a shape, in a form that can be installed in everyone that believes on his name. And that installment, that message of the Holy Ghost that God has transmitted into us is actually a package of everything that God wants to give to us. So much so that in the midst of weakness and insufficiency, if by any means you turn to him for strength, the Holy Ghost that day will become strength unto you. Just in case you find it difficult to connect with him in prayer, your heart desires to sustain a powerful and a wonderful prayer life, and you just find out that you have a desire to pray but the ability to pray is not with you, the scripture says, quicken us and we shall call upon thy name. And in that day, the Holy Ghost becomes a quickening spirit, such that can quicken the dead, quicken everything that lacks the ability to rise in itself. The Holy Ghost that day becomes a quickener. And as you journey in God, in the path of faith, seeking to fulfill that which God has called you to do, you come to realize that you actually cannot do without the Holy Ghost. And just in case you have not gotten to that point in your life, I counsel you to remove your confidence from yourself. I used to be a man that had so much confidence in his mind. I could cram handouts, 132 pages. And when you isolate a question, I can tell you the page where the answer is. I was bad in my classroom. And when I look upon the guys that were my mates and I saw them read in the night, I say, you are cursed by the devil. You read so much and make so little. I preach everywhere. Preach here and preach there. When exam comes, I leave the whole book and I put it down. Praise the Lord. And it came to pass in my 300 level. I read and my jinx failed. And I had all kinds of carryovers in major courses and electives. I almost aborted mission in school. I told my neighbor, the Lord is calling me to go into full time. If you have not yet seen the insufficiency of your humanity, it means you have not traveled long on this path. The Holy Ghost, the most important personality. And I pray that you will find him so. So that when the insufficiencies of your humanity come on display, you know that you need to turn to him. And just in case you turn to him for one day and he doesn't respond, people that have wisdom know that it's not wise to leave and go out, because you'll still be defeated. You will not mind waiting for one day, for 5 days, for 21 days. Because you know it won't make any difference if you walk out. Tell your neighbor, the Holy Ghost is the most important personality. You might break bond with your father. You might lose connection with your mother. If you still stay in contact with the Holy Ghost, he will fill all the vacuum. He will fill every place. He will stand strong for you when nobody is around. I pray today that a deeper revelation of the Holy Spirit will be administered to you through the ministry of the Word of God. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth. When you have come to identify the person of the Holy Spirit as the most important personality in your life and around your life, when you have submitted to his government and authority, because what makes the Holy Ghost powerful in your life according to the writings of Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians, is that we acknowledge his lordship. If you acknowledge the lordship of the Holy Spirit, you will not just want to speak anyhow and use your tongue, because you know that you will offend him. And if you offend your stronghold, it will be a bad day for you. I've lived in places before where we had necromancers around. And there was this woman that was serving an idol. And she went into the place of communion with the idol, a little hut. And she was consulting. She was, what's the other name for that? Conjuring. She was communicating. And in the process, something happened. She offended the spirit. And from 12 noon till 4 p.m., the spirit tied her. She could not go out of the shrine. And she was pleading with all kinds of vocabulary to break herself loose from the prison of the spirits. I need you to understand that when you begin to know the Holy Ghost, you will not want to offend him. Because you know he's your stronghold. Your life depends upon him. You want to please him. You want to serve his will. You want to be found in alignment with his purposes. You don't want to be found outside. Hallelujah. And when you serve him that way, he puts something upon you. That is what the Bible calls the anointing. My God. The anointing is God's energy. God's energy that comes upon you and facilitates you to carry out a function and become a certain man outside of your natural ability. No man can prophesy except he's inspired by the Holy Spirit. No man can speak the words of God except he's empowered by God. Whenever you begin to see man doing the works of God, then there's an element that drives it. It is what? They anointed. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He began to do the things that only God could do. He could quicken the dead. He could call those things that be not as though they were. He could give sight to the blind and cause the deaf ears to hear again. How God. And it happens to be that there are different kinds of anointings. God can empower you with the wisdom in the business world. And you always know when to invest and when not to invest. You know when to travel for a holiday. You know when to enter into the economic war front. And God's anointing upon you will give you strange abilities. You know, I found out these days that most businessmen in the high places actually do not go to the economic war front with natural eyes. They are empowered with some kind of amulet or some kind of spirit. But when you meet a man anointed to stand in the economic war front, he doesn't need any accessory. He goes with the anointing. By that anointing, he has wisdom to know what to do, know how to invest, know who to connect with. The anointing is a compendium of everything that you require to fulfill God's purpose for your life and to translate your calling into fulfillment. When that anointing comes upon you and begins to function in your life, you know when to lay hands, when to speak, when to proclaim, when to prophesy. Oh my God, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He could not stay in one place. It was as though he had the solution to people's problem in his hand. You are not going only to be healed today. You will be empowered to do the works of God. I'd like you to lift up your right hand where you are seated and pray. You want to say, flood this house with your anointing. And let us experience the manifestations of the works of God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name.